is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. We kick off this week. Little break overall in the weather, though. There's always something. So this is hard to believe. It's the last week of the first month of the new year. And a lot has happened in the first 3 weeks, including a string of days where we had 21 consecutive accumulations, or at least measurable snow, in the city of Pittsburgh. Artificial intelligence. You can't turn anywhere without hearing something about it. And the fact is that Pittsburgh is on the cutting edge of all of that. And joining us from Duquesne University is Professor for Supply Chain Management, Michael Sherwin. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me this morning.
So you've seen the progress of this. I guess things were disrupted all over the world with COVID-19 that initiated the change in supply chain, but apparently Pittsburgh's AI companies are also doing that again. How so?
Yeah, there's several companies in the region that are playing a major role in advancing the AI within supply chains, whether that be in transportation, warehousing, inventory management, and then some of the operations within the facilities themselves. So it's pretty exciting, and the universities are supporting those efforts as well.
Michael, what kind of a difference would this make to a consumer?
Well, I think that, there's still, from a retail standpoint, you're still going to have to receive goods, and there's been talk of sort of drone transportation, getting your goods from the sources to the end user. And I think the other part of it, too, is what we've seen with, the big players in retail with shorter deliveries, more efficiency. And then also the visibility of being able to see your order as it's moving across the supply chain.
One of the things I saw that I thought was really fascinating, the Pittsburghers might not know, is Gather AI is a North Shore-based startup that utilizes artificial intelligence software and autonomous drones that scan and itemize warehouse inventory faster, a lot faster than traditional means. Just one example, right?
Yeah, that's true. I think one thing that COVID sort of brought to light was the need for visibility, and visibility starts with good data integrity. It also kind of changed the landscape in the labor force. So what may have been done by a human before, we're now starting to see being taken over by artificial intelligence technology, that some of which is still in development, but I think it's moving along those ways where it's going to support the shift in the labor force as people choose to do different jobs.
One of the things that we talked about was Aurora with the autonomous truck operations that they're going to test drive in Texas. But this could be coming to, I would say, practical use sooner than later, right?
Yeah, it's possible. There are certainly some hurdles to get over from a regulatory standpoint, but the ability to have autonomous transportation, especially in the freight industry, really could be paying dividends in terms of efficiency, potentially safety, and some other ways as well.
Larry mentioned earlier, Michael, that some trucking companies that we've gotten to know some people in the trucking industry, they're always looking to hire. So artificial intelligence would really be a boost for the labor market in the trucking industry.
Well, it could be. I think you're going to see sort of the job landscape change where people are going to be supporting this autonomous driving and other AI technologies. And also, it's going to really cause a different shift in the way we look at jobs overall. So, with autonomous driving, obviously, there's not a human behind the wheel anymore. We'll be able to have potentially more trucks on the road, which could possibly, have other issues with it. But yeah, it's definitely going to show a shift in how labor's viewed. And you, to your point, there are, trucking companies are always looking to hire. So this could help fill that gap.
Yeah, and the fact is, these autonomous trucks would obey the laws of the road, too.
Yeah, this is true. They stay in their lane and hopefully maintain safe speed limits.
Well, before you go, Michael, I'm curious. A lot of people are concerned, hey, this means I'm going to lose my job or job opportunities. And then others say, no, it's going to increase opportunities for better jobs. Well, how do you see it?
Yeah, I think it's going it's a shift, right? I mean, from the Pittsburgh region, we went through a shift when the steel industry took a downturn and we moved to other industries. I think this is that same sort of scenario where, you know, as technologies change, we have to adapt and change with that. And that includes the job market. And so I see there being opportunities in other types of professions. And, you know, I think it's a pretty exciting time for our region.
Yeah, try to make technology your friend. Michael, thank you for your time this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Michael Sherwin, Professor of Supply Chain Management at Duquesne University. So, you know, it's hard to put your hands around what all this really means, Paul.
It is very, very hard for me. I keep asking the question, you know, where's the money going to come from? You know, how's this technology, how is it going to, you know, generate wealth? Right now, it's a hot thing to invest in. And there's a lot of speculation, a lot of people throwing big money
right
in the direction of artificial intelligence. But I still have that question, you know, what's the end result? What's the product going to be, you know, when you're using that? Or is it just something that's ancillary that goes along with as like complements what we're already doing?
It'll be fairly seamless.
Yeah.
We're going to find out one way or another.
I think there's a big bubble here, and I think that we're going to see things kind of shake out a little bit down the road.
From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA traffic powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville, let's check in with Ellen Gamble.
All right. Lots of vehicles of all kinds on the roads this morning, guys. The Parkway North, I-279. We'll start with good news, this report. It's rolling well all the way from the split with 79. In fact, 79 is a great ride for you coming in either direction from the Butler County line all the way down to the Washington County line at this point through Allegheny County. Parkway North, though, it has the HOV lane open for you. It's rolling well. Same story on Route 28 coming southbound toward town this morning. Parkway West inbound brake lights greet you right at the top of Green Tree Hill. And you're lining up on the Parkway East inbound solidly in the Wilkinsburg interchange before the Squirrel Hill tunnels. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 725. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
AccuWeather says mostly sunny and breezy, high 36. And have you noticed, I mean, it's just a sign, but it's staying a little lighter longer in the evenings, which is, you know, we're going the right way. And when we get to this Sunday, Paul, we'll be halfway through winter.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And look at these highs in our forecast. Today, 36. Tomorrow, 36. Wednesday, 38. Thursday, 38. Friday, 43. That's a lot more like what we're used to.
Yeah. And we'll take that this week because last week was about as challenging as it gets in a winter around here. And right now, we're at 21 degrees. You're going to see a lot and hear about the continuing deportation efforts of the United States government. And some of those aren't to the liking of President Donald Trump. He wants more and apparently is asking for quotas to get more people, you know, rounded up and sent out of the country. And so far, let's see if I have the numbers, how many people to this point have been deported, roughly around 2,000, but he wants to see more. I'm trying to find the numbers exactly, but he wants to, he's not happy with the progress so far. He wants to speed this whole thing up.
Wow, after just a week, 2,000, that sounds like a pretty high number for the first week, right?
Yeah, but he wants more.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes, because there's been some pushback. Meanwhile, I think a lot of people looked forward to yesterday. If you like football, it was Championship Sunday in the NFL, and it went how you thought it might. Philadelphia and Kansas City were the favorites.
I wasn't expecting Philadelphia to do what they did, though. I mean, my goodness.
Well, Washington coughed up the football four times, and they scored 28 points off of the turnovers. A turnover is the big, you never know where it's going to come or when it's going to come in a game, and it usually does a team in when you do. And that's the case throughout these playoffs. If you watch games yesterday, Aaron, you were paying very close attention, as I understand it.
I was. I think it was after seeing, is it Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
After seeing
for Washington.
Him, yeah. I think it was two games ago, and I was just seeing how pointed his throws were. I was like, wow, I actually am rooting for this team. And then, obviously, if it wasn't them, I love the Bills. So I started to get invested just to see, and now I'm just preparing myself. I got 2 weeks.
You're going to watch the Super Bowl? How could you not at this
point? I know.
Yeah.
It's just always, it's fun, no matter what, to just tune in, whether you're watching for the game, the halftime show. We'll see.
The thing in between is the Pro Bowl.
Pointless. I mean, they really ought to just make it a flag football game.
Well, they actually did.
Right.
That actually is part of it.
Yeah.
And they have these silly skills competitions in an effort to, I mean, to think they used to actually try to play a football game, but now it's more just like a reason to party and celebrate the best players in the league who gather to, you know, play flag football in the backyard. I don't know how much interest there is at that, but the NFL has done a tremendous job of making everything some sellable opportunity.
I have an update for you.
What you got?
On the Spirit Airlines dress code.
Oh, we ended the week with the story of Spirit Airlines enforcing a dress code which includes no see-through clothing.
Okay, so here's the deal. Two passengers on a flight from L.A. to New Orleans learned the hard way when they were kicked off the plane for wearing crop tops. New policy states you can't wear clothes that are lewd, obscene, or offensive in nature. A third woman was so upset about the ordeal, she took off her shirt on the flight to reveal her own crop top. And here's what she said. She said the policy is discriminatory towards women of different shapes and sizes. Listen to this.
It makes me a little mad. The wording talking specifically about, like, uncovered breasts. And so, like, people with big boobs are going to get in trouble and little boobs are fine, because that's pretty much what happened on that flight. That's why I said something.
There you have it.
So I hate to sound naive, Aaron. You're a woman.
I don't know what a crop top is.
Crop top?
I was just about to chime in here because, I don't know, that's a little irky. But a crop top, I would say, stops anywhere literally right below, like, bra strap to right above or the same place of your belly button. You know, you're going to see some of the midsection. And I just feel like, even though, you know, I get where she's coming from, that woman, at the end of the day, if one is going to draw extreme attention and the other is not, I think just make it a blanket, you know, no crop tops. But, like, come on, lady, they're not going to look and see, I don't know, gigantic balloons and just... continue. You got to be realistic.
Oh, my.
So this is where we are with Spirit Airlines. Now, what's the alternative? If you're going to fly for $9, where else are you going?
That's such a fair point.
You know what's funny, though, is about, let's be honest, some of the budget airlines, you know, they get you with that upfront number, and it's like, oh, if you want a seat, that's going to cost you. If you want to pull your tray down, you're going to run your credit card through there.
Yeah.
If you wanted a drink, even water. I'm serious.
And, you're right.
And some of them, if you take, they charge you for carry-ons. Okay, so most of the airlines charge if you're putting a bag under, in the hull. But if you're carrying on, most don't charge you, right?
Right.
You get one carry-on and one personal item.
Right.
What's amazing about some of these is they charge you for that too.
Yeah.
Including Spirit and Allegiant.
Yeah, they're like, don't worry, we'll make up for that $9 so ticket.
The flight was $9, but it ends up being $250.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you wanted a seat.
How about a meal? Wouldn't that be nice?
No, they...
Back in the day, remember? I think I was on a flight from like Miami to Philadelphia.
They give you a meal.
And they had soup. Hot soup. Yeah, and a nice entree and dessert and the whole smash. It was like, and I was in coach.
What kind of soup was it?
It was a creamy soup, like a cream of chicken type thing.
Creamy soup, I think, errs on the side of delicious. That's fair.
Yeah, it was good.
Spirit Airlines crop top is a no-no.
Ellen just texted me. She's like, I nearly spit out my coffee.
Is it too much to ask people to... You see them on there. I've seen people with pajamas, pants.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm personally not offended by that, but I'm thinking, can't you just... Put on a pair of pants.
There's an entire genre now of travel clothing, right? People are buying clothes based on how comfortable
they are to wear
in the plane.
Yep.
Shoes, etc.
I just looked. There's a whole litany of videos from these women who got kicked off the plane.
Oh, no kidding.
They formed a group.
Oh, yeah.
Support group. But you're right, Paul. On social media, look up Airport Fit. And a whole bunch will come up.
Right.
All right. Just a suggestion. If you are flying today, wear pants. Every Monday at this time, we check in with Brian Caranta, brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Brian, I hope you had a good weekend.
I did, Larry. I did. It was a great weekend. Thank you for asking.
Always nice to start the week with a little sunshine. Before we get into the details.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. We actually had to shovel the driveway again yesterday because we've piled so much snow up against one part of the house that I said, if we don't make room for more snow, this is going to start to get a little bit tough here in trying to get into our house on the side of the garage. So that's what we spent most of the afternoon doing.
Oh, that's fun.
Was reshoveling. Yeah, it was a lot of fun, right.
All right, let's talk about... A big factor when you talk about financial decisions, and that's emotions. How do emotions play a role in people's financial decisions, particularly as they approach retirement?
Well, first off, it's a great question. And there's actually an academic term for that called behavioral finance. They actually study this, and it's about understanding why people don't always make the smartest money moves. And emotions like fear, greed, overconfidence can really mess with your financial choices, especially during uncertain times, because for most of us going into retirement, well, any time of our life, we're, as humans, we're seeking some level of certainty. That's what we want. That's what makes us happy. But when we have uncertain times, like when the market is volatile or someone is, planning for retirement and the stakes are really high, and you realize, look, this is not a dress rehearsal. I'm about to retire with 30, 40 years of savings. I cannot make a mistake. And actually, this is where some of the biggest mistakes are made as people transition from their working years to their retired years.
Okay, so that said, give us some real-life examples of how this can be modified before bad decisions are made.
Yeah, for sure. First off, it starts with having a plan. And now you hear that a lot. And that, that idea of, Got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. The financial industry likes to say that. But there's actually two pieces. There's the plan and then there's the strategy. So when the market drops, fear can cause people to panic and sell at the worst possible times, locking in losses instead of staying the course. Many listeners listening right now probably can relate to that or know somebody that's done that. And then there's greed, which pushes people to chase hot investments during a boom. Like everybody's chasing cryptocurrency right now. You know, we've received calls from certain clients that say, should I be buying crypto right now? No, you're 81. Probably not the best idea. And finally, you've got overconfidence, you know, thinking, I can time the market. I know better than the pros. Because maybe they got a stock tip and, you know, they won big on it, and they think they can do it again, and then they get it wrong. But even experienced investors, Larry, struggle with timing things perfectly. So you got this. This comes back to having the plan and having the strategy.
All right. That said, can we do a quick sidebar on crypto for a second? Because
sure.
A lot of people hear that crypto,
right.
Even President Trump and the First Lady have crypto coins you can buy. Can you just help explain what crypto is for people so they have some sense if they do not?
Sure. So think of it almost like digital gold. You know, the clarity that we're starting to get more and more around crypto is that crypto is more going to be used as a store of value. So think of being able to buy property in Manhattan back in the late 1800s. I mean, and think about what that property would be worth today. And so when you've got the entire world that's going to be able to store capital in cryptocurrency, which again is just a digital code. I mean, that's all it is, created by a fictitious character called Satoshi, which that's a whole nother rabbit hole. But essentially, it's a store of value. So think about it like digital gold. It's a place where you can put money. Now, I wouldn't say that it has the stability that gold does right now, but it may in the future because it's new. Obviously, it's going up and it's going up quickly because everybody's getting in. And you do have some major big players in there right now. Like Donald Trump has said he's going to be the crypto president, you know, for the United States. And that's great because more regulation gets around it. More people get involved, like big companies like BlackRock have ETFs right now that you can buy that gets you in the crypto. It's not terrible. What's terrible is if people are chasing that with a large portion of their money. And that's not the greatest idea. So just you got to simplify it and just think of it as a store of value. That's it.
And so if you are creating that pie that you hear so much about in the financial world where you know, depending on your age and circumstance, you might allow for a small piece of that pie to be earmarked for something like that.
Yeah, depending on your age. Like I have 5% of my personal portfolio in crypto right now. I dollar cost average in twice a week. So I buy every Sunday night and I buy on Wednesdays. If you're going to get into crypto, you should be dollar cost averaging in, which means you're going to buy high frequency throughout the course of the year. You're not just going to dump a ton of money in at once. And again, as you get older and you're close to retirement or in retirement, less of a percentage needs to be in, maybe 2-3%, no more than 5%, I would tell my clients.
And I think it's hard for people to understand, even though you've just described crypto, is that, you know, like, where is it? Where's my money? And how do I know somebody's truly handling it the proper way?
Well, this is the rub, Larry, because it literally, nobody knows the real story behind crypto. Even the crypto junkies that study it. I mean, there was a white paper written by a gentleman by the name of Satoshi. And nobody knows who Satoshi is. He just wrote this code and disappeared. So it's not like it was created by somebody. But that's actually what makes it very valuable because essentially, because it wasn't created by anybody, the claims are that nobody can change the code, right? Which means it needs to stay the way that it is. When I'm talking code, I'm talking computer code, right? Which basically the ones and zeros that make up this combination of crypto. So, you know, but you can't actually point to it and say, well, that company right there is the ones that are responsible for the creation of crypto. And if anything goes wrong, they'll rewrite it. It's not the way it works. That's what still makes it very scary, right? There's unknowns that nobody can put their finger on.
Well, get in touch with Brian for all the right reasons at righttrackpittsburgh.com and get your copy of Brian's book today. And you can put your own mental retirement portfolio together with Brian and his team. Brian, thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Have a great week. We'll see you again next week.
You got it. RightTrackPittsburgh.com. Coming up right after the news at the top of this hour with Paul Rasmussen, Lenny McAllister, our resident political analyst, enjoy his in-studio visits, discuss basically what's transpired in this case over the past week, and there has been a lot to unravel and get into the details. Also, in our 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Jeff Hathorn, our Odyssey sports director. Paul, no big surprise, Kansas City and Philadelphia, based on the championship games yesterday. That's who the experts thought would win. No upsets. Turnovers a big issue, particularly for Washington, and officiating questions in the game against Kansas City for the Bills.
Yeah, Kansas City wins another close game. I was really surprised by how the Eagles rolled up the score on Washington. That was a dominant performance. And when you got Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, both ran for 3 touchdowns apiece.
When you consider that Washington gave up the ball 4 times and Philadelphia took advantage of it to the tune of 28 points, the maximum, then you see the score and it's like, okay, I get it, because it was a blowout in the end.
Well, I think the over and under number was around 50. And Philadelphia scored 55 of their own.
Yeah, good point. So experts say that Kansas City is favored by 1.5 so far. So those lines are likely to change. But you know what's fun about the Super Bowl is people bet on everything. They call them prop bets, like who's going to win the
coin toss.
Coin toss.
Yeah, right. First field goal.
If either team scores a touchdown off the kickoff, you know, there's all kind of crazy bets you could make, including what color is the Gatorade.
Okay. Which I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's, you got to be down in the weeds to do that kind of stuff.
Can I bring up a topic that we haven't discussed yet?
What do you got?
Pineapple on pizza. Okay, what say you about pineapple on pizza?
I've never had it.
Aaron?
Aaron, have you ever had pineapple pizza?
Like Canadian bacon with pineapple, like Hawaiian pizza.
I have. I had pineapple on pizza for the first time, and I like it.
Oh, you do, huh?
I do. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I think it's completely wrong. I think the pizza laws are being broken by putting pineapple on pizza.
You didn't like that dose of sweet.
No, I don't like sweet things on savory thing. No. Now, in the United Kingdom, there is a pizza joint called Lupa Pizza, and they're so against people ordering pineapple, it costs $120 if you want it.
Oh my goodness!
I heard about this.
What?
That's one way to
implement.
You wanted, we'll give it to you, but you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
I worked at a restaurant once that was like pretty bougie, as far, you know, the menu would change often, small plates, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And if anybody would ask for steak sauce or ketchup, the chef would throw a fit.
Oh, yeah,
in
yeah.
the kitchen. He's like, that's not how we do it here. You eat how I prepare, and that's it.
Right. The only way you could get it at this place where I grew up, the great steaks there, the only way that you could get ketchup was you had to have it brought to the table, and then the server would put it on your plate for you, like if you had like French fries or something.
Wow.
They didn't want, the owner of the restaurant wanted no steak sauce, no ketchup, anything like that to be available. Somebody one time sat down and without even tasting the steak before, the beautiful porterhouse, and the guy just drowned it in ketchup. And the owner of the restaurant, Eddie Newman was his name, he was aghast.
Yeah.
And the ketchup bottles disappeared. They're all back in the kitchen.
So back to your pineapple pizza. Have you ever tasted it, really?
Yeah. Canadian bacon and pineapple. It's all right, but it's just not.
Right. Like, thing. I will say that. It's not my first choice, but I will absolutely eat that in a heartbeat occasionally. It's not like you can eat a whole pizza with that sweet, savory thing going on.
No.
But I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up right after the news at 9, we have heard a lot about affordable housing options for downtown Pittsburgh, right, in the region.
Hmm.
Well, the Pennsylvanian, you know where that is?
The train station. It's beautiful, beautiful.
240 apartment units. They're going to take on more of a hotel feel under a new partnership between the owner and a new hospitality operator. So the New York-based Akram Group has partnered with Placemaker, a firm that brings third-party management to offer short-term stays. And they're going to explore this with the Pennsylvania for starters. So what exactly is short-term stay? Are we talking about short-term stays like Airbnb?
Mm.
Or are we talking about places for people who need a place to go can go? So we'll find out more about that.
I am curious about that.
Yeah, that's a hot topic of, okay, what are we going to do downtown with all this unoccupied space that we have in these buildings in particular? But you see what they're doing to the Golf Tower?
Yes.
It's going to be spectacular.
They had a beautiful, beautiful write-up on that in the Post-Gazette last week. It was a great article to read.
They're going to make that a high-end hotel.
Yes.
Plus places to live with an affordable housing component.
I had a meeting there years ago, and I was just blown away by how beautiful that building is inside. It's just beautiful.
Well, somebody thought so too.